You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast, because they trust in you. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord himself, is the rock eternal. That's a fantastic scripture. And as I read the first part of that, being kept in perfect peace, there's something inside of me that longs for that experience. I've had moments of peace and possibly fleeting moments of perfect peace. But I would say that I do not abide in a place of peace. Do you? I think part of that is because there's still a lot to be healed on my own journey. I've mentioned before that I wrestle with an anxiety disorder, and it has improved greatly. But when certain factors all come together and converge at one point, I can find myself really struggling again with anxiety, with an actual physical sense of fear inside. I think that's part of the reason I don't abide in perfect peace. I think another reason is that my mind is given, well, I guess I would say to worry. I wouldn't think I'm a worrier. I don't bite my fingernails or pull at my hair. But I have a tendency with my mind to spend a lot of time thinking about things that happened yesterday, being concerned about things that might happen tomorrow. And when I do that, it does create an awful lot of tension, anxiety inside of me. It's almost as if I spend the whole day drinking caffeine, and then I wonder in the evening why I'm so amped up. Now, I know better than this. I really do. As a matter of fact, a number of years ago, I wrote a book called Every Breath We Take. And in that book, I talk about this tendency and talk about how it can lead to some serious destruction, that we worry about what happened in the past, what might happen in the future. And as a result, we can live in this perpetual stew of tension. And part of this has to do with neuropathways, the whole idea of neurobiology, that when we've walked this kind of path numerous times in the past, it's so easy to get on that path again. And I know it is for me. I was thinking the other day that it's as if I could use an illustration that I'm a goat, and that I spend most of my time feeding on yesterday and feeding on tomorrow. And both of those places of feeding create tension, and yet I tend to go there over and over again, hoping that this time when I feed there, it's going to solve problems, bring me to peace, and I will not be as tense as I normally am feeding there. But yet I go there, nothing changes. Too much time thinking about yesterday, way too much time worrying about what might happen tomorrow, not being in the present moment, abiding and thinking about the Lord. This scripture, Isaiah 26:3, this is really about spiritual discipline. It's about choosing to stake your mind in the here and now and demanding that it feed there. Do you hear that? Staking it to the here and now and demanding that it feed there. And whenever it tries to go off into yesterday and off into tomorrow, that you pull it back and say, no, we're going to stay right here in today. And not just in today, but in this moment within today. In order that we can experience not only the presence of God, but the peace of God. So this scripture says, you will be kept in perfect peace, those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. The King James used to say something to the effect of keep in perfect peace those whose minds are stayed on you. The idea is that we must focus our minds in such a way that it's thinking about God. thinking about Christ, being filled with the thoughts that the Holy Spirit has within us, so that we can trust in the Lord in this moment and not allow ourselves to spend too much time on that toxic pasture of yesterday and tomorrow. So I got to make this practical for me. So I've been thinking about this, okay? I want to experience God's perfect peace. I know that God will bring me perfect peace, but my part of this is to keep my mind stayed on Him. So I thought, well, what does that look like practically? And I wanted to share that with you. If you, like me, ever find yourself wandering over and feeding too much on the anxieties of yesterday and the worries of tomorrow, and not being in the present moment with God. Well, I'm going to give you 7 suggestions. Are you ready? These are practical. These are things you'd need to do. You'd need to discipline yourself. I need to do that. And I need to do that also because, well, I can begin to experience this tremendous degree of anxiety because I do not keep my mind on the Lord. And so here's the first thing that I would like to suggest to us, to you and to me, and that is we got to spend some time contemplating the fact that we are surrounded by the presence of God. God's kingdom is flowing all around us. This is why it writes in the book of Acts about the fact that we live and breathe and have our being in God. We've got to sit and meditate on that fact that God is not somewhere way out in space and that we've got to shout our prayers for Him to hear, but God surrounds us with His presence. He's very close to us. This is one of the reasons I think that Jesus, in His prayer, told us to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven." In Jewish thinking, heaven was not far away. It was right in our midst. And that would be important. Just sit down for a while. Close your eyes and contemplate that God's presence is surrounding you. He's surrounding you in that chair as you're walking through the kitchen, as you're at work, at your desk, or if you're at your workshop. God is all around you. If only we can become aware of that. We're not on our own in these circumstances. God's for us. And He's all around us. After we contemplate that a bit, let's remember and think about and give thanks for the fact that God does love us. For God so loved you that He sent Jesus. For God so loved you and God so loved me, He lavishes His love upon us, as it says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. God loves us. Satan wants us to believe that God will let us down, that He makes promises He will never keep, and that if He had His way, He'd rather pour out wrath upon us. And that is all part of the lie of the evil one. God loves us. And His love is active. And His love is sacrificial. And if we could spend some time thinking about that, asking the Holy Spirit to give us a picture of God loving us. This is one of the steps that I suggested in the book, Every Breath We Take. Just get quiet before God, experience His rest, and then ask the Holy Spirit to give you a picture of God loving on you. That's part of what it means to keep your mind stayed on Him. I think another thing that I need to think about, I'd suggest it for you, is that God has compassion for my brokenness. I think God cares about the fact that I struggle with anxiety at times. As a matter of fact, I don't think He cares. I know He cares. Oh, I beat myself over it and I heap shame on that fact, but I think God is far different in the way He looks at us in our brokenness. A bruised reed He will not break, a smoldering wick He will not put out. And all of that is part of the wonder of God and how He feels about us in the midst of our difficulties. He surrounds us. He loves us. He has compassion for our brokenness. I think another thing that would be helpful for us is to be thankful for blessings great and small. thankful for blessings great and small. This is part of what St. Ignatius taught us, that you want to spend some time every day thinking of the blessings that God has brought our way, whether it's big or small. And there's something about that that puts our mind back on God and that we're stayed on God. It can lift us out of that spirit of despair and, for me, the spirit of worry. It's very practical, but it's something that we can do. Even make a decision every day. I'm going to write down 4 or 5 things that I'm grateful for that God has shown me in the past 24 hours, and you will begin to see change. I think another thing we need to do is learn how to focus on certain qualities of God. That God is Savior. God is Healer. God is Shepherd. God is King. God is the Faithful One. And if you could begin to think about each of these characteristics of God, just spend some time. Maybe you can't spend all day. Maybe you can't spend an hour. But if you spend some time thinking about the wonder and majesty of God, it could, in fact, make a huge difference in your life. So let me just go over what I've suggested so far. Because the scripture does say that God will keep us in perfect peace when our mind is steadfast on Him. So with the help of the Holy Spirit, let's contemplate the fact that God surrounds us right now, that He loves us and sent Jesus across the universe to bring us into His heart, that He cares about our brokenness. That there are things that He does every day for us that we could be thankful for, if we so choose, not to get caught in the quicksand of despair, fear, and worry. That we can think about the characteristics of God that He manifests toward us, our Good Shepherd, our King, our Father, our Savior, our Banner. Well, here's another thing I think would be helpful, and that is that when you begin to spin into a ditch, practice that scripture out of Romans 8, Holy Spirit, take over my thinking. The mind controlled by the flesh is death. The mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. We've talked about that numerous times, but once again, I come back to it. I need to do this. I'm confessing the ditch I can fall in. Oh, Holy Spirit, take over my thinking. Let me be brought back into this moment with God. Take over my thinking so I don't feed on yesterday and feed on tomorrow, but stay right here where the pasture is rich and where I can experience not only Your presence, but Your peace. The final thing I want to suggest to you is some way, carry a symbol. Keep a symbol with you, or at least around you, that reminds you of God and His presence and His love and His compassion and that He is here with you right now. Now, that's what the tallit is all about. You know, the Jewish prayer cloth that the Orthodox Jews or Jews would put over them. It was a reminder of all the promises of God. Or the tefillin that they would wear on their forehead or on their arm that reminded them of the prayers they needed to have. Or the mezuzah, that little piece of scripture, parchment of scripture that they would put on the doorpost, that our Lord is one. And all of this was to bring them back to focus on God's presence. Many times I carry a small pocket cross, sometimes a palm cross. On many, many days, if you found me, you would see that I would have written something on my hand. Right now, I have written Isaiah 26, verse 3. Carry a symbol. Let it remind you. God has a promise. He will keep you in perfect peace. Your part is bring that mind in, discipline it. Don't let it feed on yesterday and on tomorrow. Feed on what's true today. Once again, contemplate that He's present with you right now, that He loves you passionately, that He cares about your own brokenness, that there are ways in which you can give thanks for many things He does if you only notice, that you can focus on some quality of God in His love for you. You can invite the Holy Spirit to take over your thinking and find a symbol. Let it draw you back home again.